Megan, I'm having a mouth baby. It's this podcast. Spoiler alert. Megan won't even interact with me. She's like, that is not how I'm ever starting this show.
I'm trying to pause long enough that we can't use it for the start of our show.
I'm sorry, but the train's out of the station. The horse has had
its
hay.
Put that train back in the station.
You can't. Trains
can't. Have that horse barf up that. What, you don't think trains go back into their stations?
Trains can't go in reverse. It's a known fact.
That is the biggest lie about trains I've ever heard.
Oh, are you kidding me? I can do a bigger lie about trains.
Tell me a bigger lie about trains than trains can't go backwards.
Okay, this is a bigger lie about trains.
Okay.
Trains were invented by William Henry Harrison, President of the United States.
That is not as big of a lie as trains can't go backwards. I don't think the only The only bigger lie than trains can't go backwards
what?
Is trains can't go forwards.
Okay, I wasn't done with the lie.
Oh, go ahead.
Trains were invented by U.S. President William Henry Harrison in 1968 while dancing at a disco and riding on a Portuguese pony.
It's still a bigger lie to say that trains don't go backwards.
I don't know. I feel like my lie was pretty good.
That fundamentally, like, is that a... as contradicts with what trains do actually do.
You know what,
which
Megan,
is go backwards or forwards.
The point you're ignoring here is that I've managed to start the show with a mouth baby joke.
Here's a bigger lie. What? Trains don't go on tracks.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
That's a pretty big lie. Hey everybody, this is a podcast about trains and the card game Magic the Gathering.
Welcome! I hope you like one or the other, or maybe even both if we're lucky. Fingers crossed!
I don't know. Liking trains and liking magic are two pretty exclusionary things.
You don't think you can like both?
No.
Whoa, that is a bold statement.
Every time I like a train, I hate magic for a second.
I thought you were going to say, I lose my heart. Like the trains, you've had some bad train relationships?
No.
Have you ever gone in a sleeper car?
No.
Talk about a bad train relationship.
Jeez. It was between Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it good or bad?
It was great. It was great because a lot of the people on the train don't sleep. They literally just stay up through the middle of the night drinking.
Well, yeah, that seems like what you should do because I took one from Scotland to London and it was only like a few hours or whatever. It was the coldest moment of my life. I had a piece of paper to cover up with in my bed. My room was the size of a toenail. The bathroom, the toilet was a tiny little pin and like there was no water. I mean, it was freezing. It was just miserable.
This wasn't, you didn't have your own room. It was like a car. And each car, like on one side of the car was a walkway or whatever was like the hallway.
Yeah.
And then on the other side was, it looked sort of like a booth at a restaurant. There was a table in the middle and
that's
then there were four bunks, but the second bunk was up high enough that everyone, like, while that was during the daytime, everyone would just sit on the bottom bunks and like around the tables at the bottom. And then at night, you pulled up, like there was the blankets and stuff were in the benches underneath the bottom bunk.
Oh.
And then you would make your bed, whether you were the top bunk or the bottom bunk.
So you were on a party train.
It was a party train.
Was there a lot of vodka?
Oh my God, there was so much vodka.
That's
and like
awesome.
They don't, like no mixers or anything. Everyone just like brings a bottle
Whoa.
Of vodka and sips vodka out of their bottle of vodka.
Yikes.
So
Yikes. I mean,
you go.
I have some fantasies about trains. That sounded wrong. What
it
I
really
meant,
did.
What I meant to say is, like, I want to be on the Orient Express, and I want a murder to happen, and I want Hercule Poirot to join up on the train and solve it with me as his new best friend.
That's just not a train fantasy.
What fantasy
that's
is that?
That's a Poirot fantasy.
I have so many. Anyway, on today's show, we'll be talking about not only the latest developments in trains, because believe it or not, there's so many.
Yeah.
But also, we're going to talk about GP Houston, which we both recently attended. One of us more than the other. We'll tell that story.
Learn what that means later in the podcast.
GP Detroit, which is modern, coming up, as well as some magic news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've got some spicy news.
Oh, there's going to be so much time for old-timey newscaster.
Oh, no.
It's going to be great.
What have I done?
Did we introduce ourselves at any point?
I'm Maria.
I'm Megan. We're the hosts of this podcast, Magic the Amateuring.
Okay, bye. For the noobs, leagues.
Hey everybody, you may have been playing some standard leagues or some modern leagues.
Oh, wait,
leagues.
wait, I thought this was about
this is
the
about
measurement
them.
Of ocean.
What?
Yeah, like
yeah, that's what I'm talking about, a standard ocean league.
Oh, okay.
and a modern Ocean League, which is what was being used, you know, 20 years ago.
Okay, great.
So leagues are a certain way to play Magic online.
Yeah.
Which allows you to enter the league with a deck, and you're going to play 5 rounds with that deck. And at the end, you get prizes based on how many out of the 5 matches you won. And that's just it. It's kind of a way to play, be able to play without having to jump in either like a whole 8-4 or what?
An 8-man.
Exactly, an 8-man. Or jump in a whole daily event. You kind of get to practice on your own time, but you don't have to jump in a 1v1 either.
Yeah, it's really nice because you just play the matches whenever you have a moment to play the match. You don't have to sit around and wait for other matches to finish. If you've got, like, you know, dinner to cook.
Exactly.
Trains to catch.
Yeah.
For example.
If you needed to catch a train, but you'd have to hate Magic while you were doing it.
Watch, there's going to be a train theme set coming out soon.
Yep.
Choo-choo.
So anyways, there are, as we said, standard leagues and modern leagues, which are exactly what they sound like, where you have a standard deck. You do have to use the same standard deck for all 5 of the matches. So you're entering with that deck and you complete it. And the same thing goes for modern.
Yep.
And it's pretty sweet. But soon, there's also Pauper right now. Soon.
I'm so excited.
There's going to be Sealed League.
Sealed League. Yes.
Which is pretty sweet.
This is like a big win for you and I, Megan.
Yeah, it is.
Because we've been like wanting a Sealed League for a long time.
We played Sealed League in person back in the day.
Yeah, we did.
Remember
in
that?
Human life, we played Sealed League. That's how much we want a Sealed League.
It's pretty crazy.
We faced other human beings.
I know, which usually I try to avoid.
Well, we had to do it.
Yeah, we did.
But it was a weird Sealed League that we played because you modified your deck every week with a new pack, I believe.
That is true.
It basically turned into a weird kind of standard league by the end of it because your deck was, I mean, your pool was so powerful and you were like trading.
Yeah. You could trade. Yeah,
it was,
that was
not really Sealed League.
But it started out as one.
It did. And now you have the chance to play one on Magic Online. I'm really excited. I know, because I love Sealed. You love Sealed. Everybody loves Sealed if they have a brain in their skulls. And that's kind of mean. But yeah, and it's coming to Magic Online.
Absolutely. So you're going to get the traditional 6 packs, and you're going to get the opportunity to build a sealed deck with those packs. And then you get to play 5 rounds.
Yes.
And then I believe you have the option of continuing.
Really? I'm just looking at the start date, which it's going to be launching after downtime on March 2nd, which will be the day that this podcast is released. So if you update your Magic Online, you will find out that the downtime has occurred and you will be able to play Sealed Leagues once you log back in after the downtime has completed. You won't have any restriction on build time with the Sealed Leagues, which I think is really cool. So normally you have 30 minutes in real life anyway to build your sealed pool, and you're going to have unlimited time. So you can try out just a whole bunch of different combinations and see what works for you. Mm-hmm. You're not restricted by the clock to what you're going to build.
Yes.
Have you found the answer to your question?
I did, which is that it doesn't have an answer, which is that I think they were talking about this may be like a future development of it, because it's not mentioned here, but I heard it talked about when they used to have leagues way back in the day before they brought them back. There was an option of like continuing with your pool and adding stuff to it or not and like stopping and rejoining. But it sounds for now it's going to be like the standard and modern leagues where when you're done with your 5 rounds,
you're done. That kind of makes sense to me, actually, because, well, maybe it doesn't make sense, but like, what if you had the bomb ass sealed pool that you've had in your entire life and you just like went through the ringer?
Well, that's the point, because the only people who would choose to continue would be people with amazing
and
ones.
You'd only be able to play people who continued.
Exactly. So you know how right now when you're being paired.
Yeah.
So if you're being paired right now in your standard league or your modern league or your pauper league, it says finding other players in stage 1.
Yeah.
And it's always like, what does that mean? There never is another stage. Yeah. Why do we have that piece of information? And it's because at least at one point in time, there were, you know, in Sealed, there was people who were at stage 1. And then if you completed stage 1, you could choose to go to stage 2.
That's crazy.
Where you would continue with the same pool.
And then stage 3 for the people with...
This is just heresy.
Well, I mean, do you mean hearsay?
I don't know.
It's the same amount of letters,
but
I think.
Wait, hearsay, how do you spell it?
Oh.
H-E-A-R-S-A-Y, right?
I don't know.
And I'm thinking of H-E-R-E.
S-Y.
Yeah.
Heresy, which means to go against, like, God or the king.
Yes, that's the one that I mean.
Okay, okay. Hearsay is like, I thought you meant like, oh, this is all just a rumor.
Oh, I mean, I think I meant both of them. But in my mind, I was going for the more like, oh, no.
Hearsay. Hearsay heresy is like really bad because you don't want to be spreading rumors that are going to.
The point is, for right now, it will be like the other ones where it's only stage one. Who knows what may happen in the future? Because I think that that's a really cool concept, you know, of being able to choose to continue. Because obviously with standard, that isn't so much the case.
Right.
You like, it's just sort of like, okay, you know, like I went 5-0 with this deck. I'll like put it through again. But in sealed, if you go 5-0 with the deck, it's over.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's a clean break on a relationship.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And
I was Wizards thinking
is
that
giving you
like
the option of extending that relationship way past its expiration date.
I was like worrying that like these huge monster decks were going to be like beating these people. Like, I'm in my first sealed league or whatever.
No, you'd have to choose to continue. Right. That would be really cool. So
I would
really
like
loved
that.
It. So that might be something that happens someday in the future. I've heard that's why there's that stage one.
Okay.
But it's hearsay.
And heresy. So yeah, get on Magic Online, try it out.
Oh, boy.
After you listen to this episode, potentially. Mm-hmm. I know I will be.
Me too.
The end. Magic news.
Hey everybody. There's news.
I thought for sure you're gonna do old timey newscaster voice. I had money on it, Megan. Now I've lost $500 in
to
that
who?
Bet. I just went on the internet. There's an over under on it. If you're gonna do
extra, extra, read all about it. Maria lost $500 on the internet.
Oh God.
Also, there's magic news.
There is magic news. A lot of people were really excited, not only by the announcement of Sealed League.
What? There's Sealed Leagues?
Yes.
Yes, that was in the normal portion of today's papers.
Yes, there's Sealed League. But also, Conspiracy 2 is happening.
They're saying what is happening?
Conspiracy 2.
Conspiracy 2. You hear that, Tiny Timmy? You hear that, Little Jim? You hear
Tiny
that,
Timmy?
Newspaper Susie?
Newspaper Susie? Is it a person made out of newspapers?
No,
it's terrifying.
It's the only girl in our news crew.
Oh, okay.
She dresses like a boy, though.
Yeah. Have you ever seen His Girl Friday? Speaking of women in news early on.
Who's in that?
You know, some black and white actors. I mean, like, because it was in black and white. I don't mean, oh boy, I've really got to put my foot in it now.
I think I have is my answer to your question.
Oh, okay. I think I have too. It's just been a long time. I want to watch it again.
Okay.
Anyway, Conspiracy 2 is happening.
Yes, it is.
Claim the crown.
Yes.
Well, I've claimed
it. Wasn't its first name.
No, it was not its first name.
The first one was Reign of Brago.
Yeah.
Brago got himself killed.
Magic.
Real murdered.
Wizards was very sneaky with their announcement of Conspiracy 2, as they should have been, because Conspiracy 1's announcement was really cool.
That one was so cryptic.
It was actually kind of creepy.
It was honestly kind of creepy.
You like called a phone number and it was like 653X or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and then
no,
it was a code
was.
And you had to decipher it. And
Man. And it was a card.
That's really creepy. Anyway.
It was really creepy.
And Magister of Worth was like randomly showing up in pre-release packs.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of cool. Anyway, so they had a likewise sort of convoluted way of announcing this set of Conspiracy.
Yes.
So they announced it as Reign of Brago.
Yes.
Then they announced that Brago had gotten murdered.
Real murdered.
So that was not going to happen.
Conspiracy the Empty Throne.
So it was Conspiracy the Empty Throne. And then.
Yes. Someone apparently is making a move.
Yeah.
Take the crown.
Seize the crown. Seize the crown. Take the crown. I don't know. Anyway.
Open the doors and seize the crown.
Do, 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 do. Now it's
Speaking
take the crown.
Of news people.
It's a conspiracy. Take the crown.
All right.
You stab my back and I'll stab yours.
No, well, thank you. What if there's no backstabbing?
I'll skip.
All right.
Sometimes when I have a massage, I'm like, just stab me with a knife.
What?
I like a deep tissue.
Do they ever like oblige?
No.
All right. Just checking.
They've got rules to live by. So yeah, this is Conspiracy Take the Crown is the official name.
Mm-hmm. It's coming out in late August of this year.
221 cards.
Say what?
Yeah. And it looks pretty fun. I mean, Megan, did you ever get a chance to play Conspiracy, the first one?
Do you know what? I didn't.
Why?
Well, because I really... What set was that during? Was it during Theros block?
You know what? I can't remember.
I loved Theros so much.
It was, I recall, during a good draft set because...
It was just during a good draft set.
A couple of times I elected not to play it because I wanted to play that draft.
Yeah. That's all I remember is that I, being the spikety spike that I am, wanted to play whatever the draft set was at the time.
And Conspiracy is a multiplayer format. Yes. It doesn't necessarily have to be.
I'm also notoriously terrible at politics.
You need politics if you're going to play multiplayer because it's the question of who are you going to attack? How are you going to save yourself from being attacked?
I'm just not trustworthy enough and I'm not good at pretending like I am.
This is going to come back to bite you when you run for president and somebody rolls this like video. It's going to be like, I'm not trustworthy enough and I don't like, and I'm not good at pretending that I am. And it's going to go black and white and it's going to zoom in on your face and be like, Megan Wolf's bad for this country.
Oh man. Today when I was in the airport, I saw an attack ad against Ted Cruz by other Republicans.
Really?
And I was like, oh, I love the primary season.
Wow, I didn't know that. Why were they going after, like, who paid for that?
I have no idea.
Because I've heard of other Republicans going against Trump, but not the
it was an attack ad on Cruz.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know, right?
I love attack ads. This is a little known fact about me. Yeah. I think they are the most ridiculous things that
they're
are
super
ever put on television. And I wish that I wrote them. So somebody call me.
They're super absurd.
They're so absurd.
They really are.
I have a 5-minute stand-up act that's based around attack ads.
Really? Let's hear it.
I can't.
Why not?
Okay, I'm trying to remember.
Let's hear part of it.
Okay.
Like a little slice.
I have to put in music in post because that's how I used to do it. I would play music off my phone.
Okay.
God, if I can remember it. So I'm talking about
how... Do you want me to hum the Star Spangled Banner?
No, it's got to be like ominous music.
I mean, I think if you put the Star Spangled Banner in the right key, it's ominous.
Oh, God. I can't remember it off the top of my head. It's been so long since I've done it. But it's like, I need a ridiculous name for like two candidates.
Charles Gomez.
It's not ridiculous.
So, I think the combination of Charles and Gomez.
Okay, we'll use Charles Gomez and...
And,
gotta write it down.
And Hat Stevens.
Hat Stevens. Bad for America. Did you know that Hat Stevens has two vaginas? Inside one vagina is a unicorn playing a gay lute. Inside the other vagina is Jared Fogle, the subway guy, beating a pinata with a $5 footlong. I don't know, it's something like that. It was like super ridiculous claims, like,
yeah.
Anyway,
all right, you guys, you've heard 2 minutes of Maria's stand-up.
Yeah, ostensibly.
Yep.
What were we talking about? Conspiracy.
Oh, I want a different... can I make a different name than Charles Gomez? That's not
what?
Silly. I want it to be Smoke Wingman.
Yeah, that's what it was, something like that. Very masculine. Okay. Smoke Wingman. That's really good.
Thank you.
Anyway.
What were we talking about?
Like conspiracy and politics and how you weren't good at politics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, how I'm not good at 4-player politics.
Yeah, you got...
Multiplayer politics.
I played Conspiracy one time, but it was kind of like a strange, convoluted conspiracy.
Oh, yeah?
This was courtesy of the Command Zone Boys, who sponsored a draft at GP Vegas.
Yes.
And we played...
Shout out to Jimmy and Josh.
Like two packs of Conspiracy and one pack of something else.
Oh, yeah.
And we played multiplayer, and I like survived for a little while, but then I died. Anyway, it was really fun, so... I encourage everybody to give it a try, but it's not very spiky. I suppose you could play it spiky if you wanted to.
Well, and I think that's part of the part of the thing about it is with the conspiracy ones is that their theory is like, oh, you could just draft this with other sets. You don't have to draft triple conspiracy.
Yeah.
You can draft, you know, other sets plus conspiracy.
And people put conspiracy cards in their cube too, and that's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm excited for it. I plan to try it at some point. Mm-hmm. While Megan and I are a little more spiky than I think... I want to say majority of players, but maybe
I don't know.
Are.
I feel like on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a... Oh, man. Now I don't know.
This is a good question.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a spike are you, Maria?
What is... Oh, man. So, like, who's a 10? Marshall?
No, any of like the like any
pro player.
Yeah. Not any pro player, but the ones who show up to, like, you
everyone,
know.
Everyone, yeah. Like, Owen Turtenwald.
Sure.
He shows up to every GP. Nearly. Sure. Okay. 6.5, 7.
Okay.
7, I'd probably say.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a steep uphill climb after 7. Like, it goes
up. I think that 8 is where it's, I think I'm an 8.
Okay. I would agree with that. Yeah. You're more spiky than me.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Okay.
Okay.
We've settled that.
Well, now that anyway. we've assigned numerical quantities to very
unqualitative of all. August 26th, Conspiracy 2 comes out. Take the crown. It sounds like a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
So go out there and try and take it. Those crown jewels are worth a lot of money. Okay? Just saying.
Have you ever seen the crown jewels?
Yes, I have.
Me too.
In Windsor Moving Castle? On. Yeah. Quite.
What? They're in the Tower of London.
Where did I see them?
Beats me.
You mean under my bed?
That's somehow both gross and ominous.
I'm a jewel thief. Okay. Spoiler alert. I've got a spoiler.
A preview.
A preview card. All right. Here we go.
Because it's official.
This is official. Yeah, it's official.
Official.
Shadows over Innistrad preview card. Brain in a glass jar.
I mean, what a name.
That is a great name.
What a name.
I love it because that's what it is. The art
is so descriptive.
It's a brain in a glass jar.
It's so descriptive.
It costs 2 colorless.
Hey, what is that thing?
It's a brain in a glass jar.
Oh, I could tell.
Yeah. Why did you ask?
I just wanted to make sure.
Okay. Artifact. Rare. This is what it says. 1. Tap. Put a charge counter on. Brain in a glass jar. Mm. You may cast an instant or sorcery spell with converted mana cost equal to the number of charge counters on brain in a glass jar from your hand without paying its mana costs.
What?
3. Tap. Remove X charge counters from brain in a glass jar. Scry X.
Wow.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. It is pretty cool. So a couple of people have been comparing this kind of to like Aether Vial.
Yeah.
But for spells, obviously, because Aether Vial is creatures, it does have a couple of key differences that make me wonder.
Yep.
So you'll notice that it's the text for one and tap, put a counter on it, is in the same group of text for you may cast a spell, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is kind of like the flip planeswalkers that we had, right? Like Jace, said, you know, tap and loot, and if there are 5 or more cards in your graveyard, then transform Jace. But the thing is that if there were 6 cards in your graveyard, but you didn't tap Jace, that wouldn't activate.
Right.
Jace doesn't just always look at your graveyard. And so Brain in a Glass Jar doesn't look at the spell, even it won't even consider that.
It won't even consider it
unless you're putting a charge counter on it.
Interesting.
So you can't just infinitely use it on 2. I don't think.
See?
At least if the wording, like I've only looked at the text, like change, like someone copying and pasting the text. So I haven't seen it on the card itself. But if it looks the way that it's typed out in this, then that is just the case because it says, you know, pay 1 and tap, put a charge counter on it. You may cast a spell equal to the number of charge counters on it without paying its mana cost.
How much does Aether Vial cost? 1?
1,
yeah,
correct.
That's a big difference as well.
What does this cost?
2.
Yes.
So this is what it looks like, Megan. It's in Japanese or something.
Yeah,
crazy.
So, right, it's not, you can't use its ability unless you're paying 1 and tapping.
Really?
Which is why...
Oh, I yes. see. That's a big difference.
Which is why it also has a second one. 3 and tap, remove X charge counters from brain in a jar, scry X. So you can reset it.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can also potentially scry 6 million.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
I see. So it's not exactly it's like a worse Aether Vial essentially.
Yes, that is true. It will it would let you cast sorceries at instant speed, which is pretty relevant.
Oh,
if you had something like a Wrath effect, like a Crux of Fate, and your opponent has a lot of creature lands, then you could use this to cast a Crux of Fate at instant speed while you're kind of telegraphing.
Oh, that's kind of neat. Okay.
Card, while very neat, you know, I'm also very interested to see how good it is.
Yeah.
It could let you cast, you know, really crazy spells.
for essentially nothing.
For like basically nothing. So if you spend like, if you have, I don't know, if you have like a, what's a really crazy
spell?
Yeah, like an instant or sorcery.
Okay, planar outburst.
Okay, planar outburst. Like you could cast it instant speed. Part the water veil.
Yeah.
You could, you know, you're only investing one mana a turn, so on that turn you could cast Part the Water Veil for basically one.
Sick.
Yeah.
Question: would you pick this in draft?
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's draft playable, but it'll be interesting to see where it goes. It might be something that's more for commander players, but who knows?
Yeah, I could also see it. You know, I could very well see someone taking it and making it something real wacky with it in standard or modern.
I love wacky decks. We're going to get into some wacky decks, speaking of.
Oh, man.
Coming up in our next segment.
Yes. What an ominous laugh.
GP Houston.
Hey, everybody. GP Houston was this past weekend.
It happened in Houston, of all places.
Yeah, I know. Houston, home of the Astros. Home of the Dynamo. Home of the Texans.
Megan knows this because she's a Texan.
That's true. Also, I feel like they just, you know, they all roll off the tongue.
Really?
The Houston Texans.
I thought like the Houston Hot Mamas would be.
I mean, that's their roller derby team.
It needs to be. The Houston Hot Sauce.
That needs to be a roller derby team. Oh,
that's so good. I want to go down there and be like, you need to start this. Anyway.
Maria, where are you moving to?
Houston.
Why?
I need to start a roller derby team called the Houston Hot Sauces.
Fair enough.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, makes sense. So we are both at GP Houston, which was standard.
Yes.
Really great tournament. Megan was doing writing.
I was. I was doing lots of writing.
Lots of writing. And
nearly
I
constant oof. Writing.
Yeah, you were.
It was insane.
And I was doing a lot of vomiting.
That's also super factually accurate, unfortunately.
Yeah, I got sick. I was supposed to be working the feature match area, and I did for a few rounds, but then my sickness hit like boom.
Yeah.
And I had to go back to the hotel immediately and throw up the contents of my stomach and everything I'd eaten the past 5 years into the toilet. It was great.
I'm really sorry.
I got to watch a lot of the rounds on Twitch between barf fests, so I still saw a lot of the action.
Yeah, it also marked the debut of Gabby Spartz on video coverage. She was awesome.
She was great.
If you haven't seen it, you can go back and check it out.
Yeah, we're really excited to have Gabby in the booth.
If you haven't read any of the articles, you can go and read stuff about it.
Yeah, Megan, how many articles did you end up writing?
A billion.
That's not accurate.
12 sextillion.
Okay, I can see I'm not going to get an answer out of you.
I'm still a little loopy.
I mean, fair play. You worked. I mean, the days they're working start very early and they end very late. And you're working constantly.
After 9 at night.
Yep.
Yes.
Like, I would like go over and Megan's like, tur, tur, tur. That's the sound of her typing on a keyboard. Not the sound of a nutcracker cracking nuts at an absurdly fast rate. I don't know why that was my analogy.
I don't know why that was either.
Anyway, Megan was working really hard.
Yes.
And you're like running to and fro, interviewing pros.
Yep.
Tell me.
Lots of peeps.
How
so
was the
peeps.
Experience?
It was, Maria, it was insane.
Yeah.
It was the most tired I've ever been.
I believe it.
And I once did improv for 40 hours straight. I think I was more tired at the end of Saturday than I was after two straight days of improv.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was just like, I don't know that there's any experience to liken it to. Lichen is also a type of moss.
Let this be proof positive that Megan's out of it.
So anyways, what was I saying? There's nothing like it that I've ever done in my life. I wrote so many words.
Yeah.
Like at some point when I'm not, you know, trying to forget everything that I wrote because there's no space in my brain left anymore and I need to clear out that space. It's like an attic up there, except the attic has too much stuff in it.
Yeah, well, that's most
addicts.
It's a
fire hazard.
Yeah, you got to get that out of there.
So anyways, what was I saying?
So it was a lot of work.
I want to go back and count the words because I don't even know how many words
it would
I wrote.
Be,
I think it was an insane number.
You're good. Like, you'll be the one throwing up once you realize how many words that was.
Yeah, exactly. My mind will be barfing words.
What was your favorite thing that you wrote that you could point people to?
Oh my goodness. You know, I had a really great time. I interviewed a lot of members of East West Bowl.
Yeah.
Which they had a couple of people top 8 the last pro tour, and then a bunch of them were also at the tournament. And they were all just like so lovely to interview. And so great to to talk with. And, you know, it was so cute because all of them were kept talking about how much like they were just all friends.
Aww.
They were all just like, they all just like obviously liked each other a lot.
That's great.
So it was really nice. So that was great. And then I wrote an article about the new Hardened Scales deck.
Ooh, I love this deck. Can we take a moment? Holy crap. Okay, what GP Houston, yeah. The winning deck was piloted by Owen Turtenwald.
Yes, four Rally. Color Rally.
So, okay, that's been a popular deck, so it's not yes. super surprised.
It won Grand Prix Oakland back in January, so the deck's on a roll.
Deck's on a roll, Owen's on a roll. I mean, he's far and away, pure player of the year race, just yes. like so far ahead, he could sit down and take a nap.
Wait, but instead he won a Grand Prix.
Yeah, but he's like, yeah, I'm just going to win this Grand Prix.
I got it, you guys. I got it. No.
But like a deck came out of nowhere, mm-hmm. which apparently was not a very well-kept secret, but it sort of burst onto the scene.
Yes.
Hardened Scales.
Yeah, so at least from what I heard, what happened was like a bunch of different teams were testing a bunch of different standard decks. And then all of a sudden a bunch of them were playing this Hardened Scales deck online and getting like their ass is handed to them by this Hardened Scales deck, and they're like,
that's so great,
holy crap, what's going on?
So we were like whispering about this in the feature match area before on Friday.
Yes.
And we're like, somebody's like, did you hear all the vendors are sold out of Abzan Falconer?
Which is like, what?
And I was like, are you this kidding like, me?
Oh, hello, Cons of Tarkir Uncommon.
And I just got so excited because I get so excited when draft commons do well in standard decks.
Yeah.
It makes me have actual emotions about it.
It's uncommon.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, also one of my favorite things that anyone said.
What?
Just when you talked about having emotions.
Yeah.
Was I was like, so I interviewed a couple of people for this, and one of them was Brad Nelson because he was playing the deck. And he was like, he was one of the people who had like some concerns about it. He was sort of like, oh, I think I maybe should have played Bant Collected Company instead. But I was like, at the end, I was like, so why did you play this deck? And he was like, oh, I just wanted to feel something. Far and away, my favorite thing.
Did he say it like seriously?
Yes, he was so serious.
That's so funny.
He was so serious. It was great.
Ooh, I know what he means, though. He means like he doesn't want to just keep playing the same old decks that we've been seeing over the family.
That's how I feel about Oath of the Gatewatch draft right now. I don't want to play it because I don't feel anything.
What if I like lit a fire, literal fire under your feet and was like, draft.
Have you seen, we've talked about recently about how much we hate the film Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah.
Oh, like garbage.
We haven't talked about it on the podcast, so.
No, but we've talked together about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's that scene at the beginning where they're like, where he has the guy's feet over coals.
I don't remember.
The theater owner who like owes him money. Oh, not Shakespeare, but like the guy who owns or like lent money for the Globe.
Yeah.
The guy who's running the Globe. The reason why he needs a new play from Will. This film is so stupid. The reason why he needs a new play from Will is because he promised that they're like he has to pay back these debtors, and at the beginning of the film the guy, his debtors are like have like a little like hot little coal pit going.
And that's a great torture.
And
like,
his feet in a little like rope, and they keep lowering his feet over the coals.
Why? This is so much work to go through. If you're gonna torture somebody for the money you owe them, just get a knife.
What? They probably just, I mean, they're debt collectors. They probably just always have some hot coals around.
They probably have a bag of tricks.
It looks like a setup in the movie, you know? It's like they have the whole setup.
Yeah.
They have a whole hot coals setup.
Anyway, what was your point?
Oh, they do threaten to cut off his ear, so they go for knives, too.
Oh, okay. So this deck.
What was I talking about?
The deal with this deck is it plays four copies of Hardened Scales, which if you're not familiar with the card, it's one green enchantment. If one or more +1/+1 counters would be placed on a creature you control, that many +1/+1 counters are placed on it instead. Oh, plus one. That many +1/+1/+1 counters are placed on it instead. It sounds ridiculous when you read it out
really
loud.
It really does. It really does. But what it means is that if something would get a counter, it also gets an additional counter.
Yeah. So that's the whole deal behind this deck is cards that are dealing with counters, that are better with counters, like cards with trample. Like we have Mana Gorge or Hydra, which is trample.
Which also just gets, I mean, then every time you cast a spell, it gets two counters on it.
Yeah.
Someone was telling me that like at one point they just discarded an endless one.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because that way, like, they were casting it, quote unquote, but it was just to put two counters on their
Paulo, I believe. He cast Endless One for Zero and a Hangerback Walker for Zero.
Jeez.
Just to pump up the Mana Gorger Hydra.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that is Trample. Avatar of the Resolute, which is like not a card you've seen in Constructed.
No, it is, but it's Trample. Pretty crazy.
It has Reach.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Abzan Falconer gives all mm-hmm. those with +1/+1 counters flying.
Oh, one of my favorite surprises, Servant of the Scale.
Oh, Servant of the Scale. People were kind of like split on this card. It's one green, so it's, again, one of your earlier cards you mm-hmm. want to play on this deck. When it dies, you can transfer its counters.
So it enters with a +1/+1 counter.
Yeah.
So the idea is that like one of the, so the deck really relies very heavily on curving out. You know, it's an aggressive deck.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just about overpowering your opponent. And one of the ideal starts is like turn one Hardened Scales, turn two Servant.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then you have, you know, you put four
then
power.
Then you've got 4 power on the board.
Exactly. And then, you know, if on turn three you play an Abzan Falconer, then they're both bumped up in the air.
Or you could play Dromoka's Command and kill whatever and then like mm-hmm. transfer your what is he called? Servant of the Scale onto his counters onto somebody else and mm-hmm. you really haven't lost the creature.
Exactly. I mean, Hardened Scale is also great with, as you mentioned, Dromoka's Command.
Yep.
So yeah, just, you know, a very powerful deck.
I love this deck because obviously I love playing aggressive decks, but I also like it because I think it's kind of inventive and cute in a way.
It's very synergistic.
I mean, it's synergistic and it's interesting. And mm-hmm. I loved seeing it play out, and I love seeing players just get beat down by it. Of course, it does rely on having a good draw, which...
It also is insane with the new Nissa.
Yeah, and Nissa's ended, of course.
Because -2, put two counters on everything. It's just like, all right. Which is what I heard. Matt Nass is one of the developers of the deck and one of the people who didn't keep it quiet enough online.
Yeah. But how do you? I mean.
And he was saying that test and papered with people more, I guess. He was saying that, like, the new Nissa is, like, he had played with Hardened Scales decks in the past, but they never really got there. And the new Nissa was really what made it work out. Yeah.
So this was kind of the breakout deck of the tournament. Even though mm-hmm. it didn't end up winning the tournament, there was one copy in the top eight.
I believe there were two copies in the top eight. One made the quarterfinals and another made the semis.
Yeah. I really love seeing stuff like this and hope to see more like crazy mm-hmm. inventive decks like this in the future.
And what I heard from people playing against it and people playing it was that like a lot of people were just like, you know, I can't beat its good draws.
Yeah.
Its good draws are just like so overpowering. You know, they just, you know... They hit the ground running, and then they run you over like a riding lawnmower.
Whoa. That's descriptive.
But I've heard also that, you know, if it doesn't have a great draw, it doesn't have a lot of staying power.
And, like, say you're playing Rally, and you cast Reflector Mage, and you bounce their Mana Gorger Hydra, which was like a 12-12 back to their hand, and you're, I mean, that does not feel good.
No, it certainly doesn't. Good. And, you know, Reflector Mage, surprisingly, one of the cards that, like, I would say Collected Company, Jace, Vryn's Prodigy, and Reflector Mage are like the three cards right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I agree. I would also kind of maybe hedge into that. Like maybe I heard players really talking about Grasp of Darkness.
Oh yeah. Grasp of Darkness is a new, is like kind of a new control tool.
Yeah. Control tool.
Although I don't know
I've dated a couple control tools.
Is that like a cross between a control freak and a total tool?
Yeah.
That's a weird cross
section.
That's
terrible. You don't want to really be that guy.
Really bad, weird cross section. Anyways, yeah. Although, I don't know, were there any copies of Grasp of Darkness in the top eight? There might have been some in some sideboards.
I don't recall it.
The other deck in the finals was a kind of like a Dark Jeskai control-ish deck.
Yeah.
By Andrew Cuneo, that he was playing. It was pretty sweet also.
Yeah, I agree.
It had a couple of copies of Kalitas. Who really does, you know, work stabilizing a board.
Yes, and that card, it was an interesting mm-hmm. finals because he was against Owen, and mm-hmm. Kalitas is known, or Kalitas, however you want to say it, is known for being really good against Rally, which mm-hmm. is specifically what Owen was playing.
Although, you know, Rally does also play Reflector Mages now.
Yeah.
Kalitas, bad against Reflector Mage.
Yep.
Really, creatures are bad against Reflector Mage.
Anything's bad against Reflector
Everything's
Mage.
Everything's bad.
As soon as it's out.
Bad against Reflector Mage.
But yeah, I mean, those mm-hmm. games were kind of nuts. There's a lot of times I saw Owen playing this weekend that he was at one, and he managed to come back and win.
Nice.
Like, that's just a testament to his skill as a player, I would say. Like, if I was sitting in this position, I'd be like, oh, I'm so dead. But he managed to figure it out and, crawl. What's the word I'm looking for? Claw his way to those rallies and those collected companies, both of which are rotating out. So this deck's going to be no more pretty soon.
Company? I thought collecting company was dragons.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I think we'll still see a lot of collected company decks. I think a deck that people were expecting to do well, but
Dragons of Tarkir.
But I don't recall. When was the last time I saw it? Was the Bant collected company deck, which plays both collected company and Reflector Mage, and can play Jace Friend's Prodigy. So all three of those super powerful cards going on right now.
Yeah, agree. Anyway, so GP Houston, exhausting weekend for both different reasons for you and I.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I mean, it's exhausting to be very ill.
Yeah, it certainly was. But hopefully I'll be back at another GP in the future.
And by back at it, you mean working.
Yes, and not throwing up. Not throwing up. Great meeting everybody who came up to say hi to us. Yes, that was wonderful.
Thank you to everyone.
If you weren't at Houston, you're going to have a chance in DC in a couple of weeks.
And we saw some people in these sweet shirts. So get at these shirts, bros.
Get at these shirts. They looked great in person.
It's so cool to like see someone wearing an MTA cash shirt. Yeah. It's just like, holy crap, man. That's awesome.
You can go to our website, magicktheamateuring.com. We have them for sale. Or you can become a patron on patreon.com/MTAcast at the $5 an episode level or $10 an episode level. And we will send you a shirt for free.
Say what?
Constructed Corner, GP Detroit.
Yeah. So Grand Prix Detroit is this coming weekend. Yep. It is notoriously modern. Which some people are like, woo, let's go see, like, everybody, let's either be Eldrazi or beat the Eldrazi.
Yeah.
And some people are like, it's going to just be, this is like the return
Eldrazi
of,
Fest.
There's a time called Combo Winter, a time in Magic history called Combo Winter, which was when the format was just dominated by combo decks.
Yuck.
Like, just insane. Like, literally being, like, the die roll could be the determinant.
Really?
Of the match. Same. If you were both on combo decks.
Wow.
Yes. So that was a time called Combo Winter.
Combo Winter sounds like me every winter when I go to gas station and load up on combos.
Fair enough.
Pizza. I mean, you know, I want the cheddar cheese pretzel ones, not the pizza ones. Get those away from me.
So anyways, yeah, that was what created the only emergency ban of Memory Jar.
Oh, really?
Once upon a time. Yes, it never...
Magic history.
Okay, it never got to see standard play.
What?
Because players looked at it and were like, do you realize what you've done?
Oh my god, now I need to look it up.
So anyways, that's a fun little history moment. Anyways...
Hold on, we need to read this card. I've played this...
This is, it's a staple in...
Microphone alert! God, I keep knocking this thing down every episode almost. Okay. It's a staple in Cube.
And it's in, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Oh, it's in the online Cube, and Storm decks play it.
Memory Jar, 5 colorless, tap, sacrifice Memory Jar. Each player exiles all cards from his or her hand face down and draws 7 cards. At the beginning of the next end step, each player discards his or her hand and returns to his or her hand each card he or she exiled this way. So Megan, explain.
I mean, like, it's insane.
You just get to choose what you... Wow.
So basically, right, you play it, and then if you're comboing off, you sacrifice it. Like, right, so if you're comboing off and you've played all the cards in your hand.
Yeah.
You crack Memory Jar, you get a full new 7.
Yeah.
And at that point, like, usually the end of what it says, right, of, like, whatever, discarding and returning the exiled cards, doesn't even matter because you've won.
Wow. That is crazy.
Or you've made enough of an insane impact. And in the meantime, your opponent had to, you know, exile a hand, draw a new 7, and then probably just discard that hand.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just...
Huh.
It's just crazy.
Okay, continue.
Okay, so anyways, what were we talking about? Oh, yes.
Combo Winter.
So yeah, and other people are like, God, it's just Eldrazi. Who cares? Why is anyone playing this format? You know, if Detroit weren't so far away, I think I would go and play because, as many of you know, I have a new love in my life.
Yes, Megan, we all know. It's disgusting.
I'm ready to commit. I'm ready to settle down.
Put a ring on it.
Put a ring on it and like tell the world that I love Lantern Control. It's beautiful. It's incredible. It's amazing. Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
But no, so I've been playing leagues with it. And one of the things about it is that it is super difficult to play. I mess up quite a bit. I think I went, so I started out 3-0 in my last league.
Yeah.
And I was just like, hell yeah.
I got this.
And then I lost my last two rounds specifically to misplays.
Well, that deck is difficult.
So yeah, but that being said, I do think that it might be one of the decks that we see this weekend at Detroit because I feel like as much as anything can have a good matchup against Eldrazi, it does. Ensnaring Bridge is just a beating against them.
Yeah.
Because it's like if on turn three,
they can't
attack you anymore. And you know, you have a lot of, you have, you know, some access to discard at the beginning, you know, some Inquisitions, some Duresses, some Thought Seizes to get rid of, you know, like you can get rid of like a reality smasher or something like that if you really need to, or a Thought Not Seer to make sure that they don't get to take your Ensnaring Bridge. I do think that there's an issue. There's been a rise of these Eldrazi Displacer decks.
Yeah.
Which can sometimes... Okay, so this is actually a funny story. So I'm playing an Eldrazi opponent with Lantern Control.
Yeah.
And they have a Thought Not Seer and an Eldrazi Displacer out. And they start flickering their Thought Not Seer because they're trying to get it so that I end up with cards in my hand because an Ensnaring Bridge doesn't work, right?
Oh, that's funny.
So they're trying to do that, but the first four times they do it, they don't stack the triggers right. So they just keep making me draw a card when it leaves the battlefield and then having to take that card away when it enters the battlefield again.
They're like, oh, fuck, I did it wrong again.
It was hilarious. And then eventually I was able to Pithing Needle the Displacer so like it didn't anymore. But I just felt like so bad because I understood what they were trying to do.
Stacking triggers is difficult on Moto, I must say.
So I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a couple of ways in which Displacer, along with some of the lists that want run like a Worldbreaker or a Thought Not Seer, and they're able, you know, you have to be able to Pithing Needle Eye of Eugene to try and like not let them search, and then you can control their library so they don't draw it. Or you have to, if they have one in play, you have to Pithing Needle the Displacer, and then maybe also eventually Pithing Needle the Eye because if they have a World Breaker, they can't, you know, you don't want them to go search it up.
Well, just think, Megan, now when you play any other deck, you're going to be like, this is a cakewalk.
That's very true. Affinity is also like a semi-difficult matchup. I do have, the only salty person I played was an Affinity player who was so mad and kept calling me he.
Yeah.
Like, even though my account has Megan in the name.
So they were like, hey, man.
No, and this was, they were doing this annoying thing where they were talking to me, but about me.
He
has a perfect opening hand. Oh, of course he does. Like, stuff like that.
Did you respond with, like, I don't have two balls?
No. No, I didn't.
Just FYI. I would have. But people know on this show, I love when people get salty at me because... You can't win. You can't win if you get salty against me.
I was just like, whatever. They conceded earlier than they needed to both games.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you maybe could have hung in there. No, game one I had a lock.
On second thought, you were fucked.
Game two, I think like I Inquisitioned them for a second time and like took something good and they were just too pissed. And they're like, quit.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, fine, whatever.
So Lantern, perhaps we'll see that in Detroit, of course. We're going to see a ton of Eldrazi.
I'm super interested because I do think that the deck is strong.
We're going to see Affinity 2, no doubt, which did, you know, make the top eight of the Pro Tour. So there
still
you go.
A strong deck. And, you know, I'm not saying, like, I don't know if it has necessarily favorable, but I think in terms of, like, all of the matchups out there for Eldrazi, I do think Lantern Control is, like, you get to control your own destiny.
Are you saying if you're good enough, you'll win every time?
No.
Okay.
No, sometimes you don't see an ensnaring bridge in the top 30 cards and you're just like, fuck it.
You're like, okay, never mind.
There's literally, I think the last round I lost to Affinity and I had two Codex Shredders and two Ghoulcaller spells and a Lantern out.
What?
So I could see my deck and their deck and I was Codex Shreddering myself. So I would Ghoulcaller spells both of us. And then as long as like they, it was fine drawing whatever they could draw, I kept Codex Shreddering me so that I could try and draw an ensnaring bridge. And I just never saw one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you know what the timer means?
Is it
we are done listening to you talk about lantern control.
Right, it's so good.
Funny. I set that timer just right.
It's so good. I could just go on and on.
I'll be watching GP Detroit and very interested to see if the Eldrazi can get taken down.
Far.
Oh my god.
Wherever you lantern.
Send help! I made a create a card, everybody.
It's so great.
Megan's still on lantern over here.
Anyways, I'll always.
Okay. You shut it down. The timer went off.
All right.
And no.
Will always love.
Oh, I cut your microphone? That's funny. How did that happen? My hand slipped. Anyway.
Did you cut my microphone?
Yes, I did. Oh, I put it back.
So mean. Okay, let's hear your create a card.
All right. It's called Combo Winter.
Okay.
And it costs one snow mana.
Okay.
So it's hard to cast because snow mana, I don't believe, is legal.
Oh, yeah, not in standard.
Not in standard. And the text reads, if you have a combo in your deck, go get it. Discard four.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's brutal.
So you have to You have to have a two-card combo.
Yep. Pretty much.
You can go find it.
You can go find it. But you have to discard four. That is not negotiable.
Oh my goodness. It's kind of like an insane tutor.
Yeah. It kind of is. Like you can go get your entire combo.
But it has to only be two cards because you're going to discard the rest of it.
Couldn't you have like...
No, if you have seven cards. Okay, if you're on... You can have a three card combo if you always are on the draw.
Okay. And you have to have your ones. You have to make sure you have your snowman.
Oh, wait, never mind. Yeah, no, it's only two card combo if you're on the draw.
This card is a straight bomb. Straightbomb.com.
Oh, wait. This would actually be insane in that Goryeo's Vengeance deck, though.
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding? You just go get Emrakul Goryeo's Vengeance and you have a turn one kill. Never mind. Card is broken. Card is fucking broken.
But here's the thing. Say, is snow mana like illegal in modern?
I don't remember when.
I don't know. But like say that it is in my mind. It's you can't play snow lands. Okay. So you have to figure out some way also to get your snow land into play without like...
Even though it's banned in the format. That's an insane,
I just made the most broke card I've ever made.
That would be so broken. Never mind. Card is straight broken.
I love it. Combo Winter.
You have to put it in a discard deck of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's straight bonkers.
maybe it should say maybe it needs to exile. Exile four cards from your hand. What about that?
What? Exile four?
Yeah.
Okay, then it's probably stupid.
Okay. Wow, one word goes from broken to stupid. Interesting.
I mean, what can I say?
You guys, that's all the time we have on this episode of Magic the Amateuring / Train Talk. Megan's looking at some Art of Snowlands right now.
I'm looking up a snow-covered forest. I don't believe it's legal in modern.
I love the snow-covered forest. The ones with the birch trees and the sun is my favorite land. And if it was in foil, I'd be the happiest little panda. Apparently,
it is legal in modern.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
All right.
You can make this.
Well, there you go.
This deck works.
It would be Goryeo's Vengeance would just be bonkers with this.
It just needs to put snow mana in his deck.
And yeah, it's good to just go. Play a bunch of snowlands.
Okay. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed our time together.
Yeah.
Remember, of course, to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/mtacast. We're very close to our next goal. Thank you to everybody who's donated so far. We really appreciate it. It means the world to us. Mm-hmm. And you're all part of our Patreon family, so thank you. Remember, you can watch the video of this episode Fridays on Tolarian Community College on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You can see our lovely faces as well as smell our voices. What did I say?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Smell-O-Vision on Tulare Community College.
Yes.
We will be at GPDC playing some Team Sealed. Come up and say hi.
Yes.
We'll give you a high five, potentially more. And what else do I need to say?
You can find us online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
I'm horny_unicorny. Follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. Our website is magicallyamateuring.com. Will you find every single one of our back episodes?
Say what?
We're also on Stitcher. If you don't want to do the iTunes podcast app, you can do Stitcher. We're on that.
Yeah. Bye.
I'll kill you with my car.
You are. I will lantern and lantern. I'm done.